Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
You're tuned into Spectrum on 657 AM.
That you are, my family, right here on Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. That is where we are at this afternoon. What an afternoon of praise and worship and just a sensitization of the work of Calvary in our lives. So Gwis writes to us and Gwis says, "For yo for me, be yo het hey for dwarf. Lank geleerde en jou oor gekeek, vol deernis die brood gebreek, sy hand na jou eet greek, neem, eet, dus my lichaam, halleluja, hy het die beker geneem, met liefde na jou gekeek, drink hiervan, dus my bloed, wat ek vir jou start." Ah, my family, this afternoon, sure, I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, the word is so potent, it's so alive, it's so powerful this afternoon. This is absolutely phenomenal. And so standing by on the line is the author, my family, of marriage, the two shall become one. And it's talking about the principles of marriage. Absolutely incredible author, Unati Mdoninji, who is an academic, he is a marketplace, a priest, he's an author, akondangeyi, your husband, a father, all of these wonderful things. And chatting to us this afternoon about marriage with a bit of a twist. We are going to get into the gist of his book, but today we're looking at marriage through the eyes of the cross. Unati, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing this afternoon?
No, thank you. Thank you, Ayanda. I'm doing very well, and good afternoon or good late afternoon to your listeners. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, while some of us sleep, go shopping, every now and again check in with the girls, you know, do all these nice things in our spare time. Where not in your spare time, over and above Mr. Mdoninji, everything else that you do, you write. I mean,
yeah, I do. Look, I wouldn't consider myself a writer per se, than I use writing to give out my thoughts about things. But I do write. I do write, and it's not easy to write, but I do.
That is fantastic. So your latest installation to the body of Christ is titled Marriage. The two shall become one. And some of the themes and pointers that come through in that book, marriage is a necessary intermediary, indispensable intermediary. I'd like you to expand on that in just a few minutes. And so, you're going to mention all of these things. The purpose of marriage is not love, but to fulfill the objectives of God. The purpose of humanity is to bring glory to God. The human benefits are incidental to that. Some of the really powerful themes coming through in your book, Unati. And I think this afternoon, you're the perfect person to help us understand marriage through the eyes of the cross.
Yeah, maybe let's start by maybe talking a bit about the Passover. And maybe then transition into or connect the Passover to marriage.
Fantastic.
Actually, the Passover is actually a very deep thing. You know, I know on one side it's a celebration, but on the other side, it's a profound celebration, because the Passover is an instance about the sovereignty of God. In fact, I want to argue that the entire Bible, the theme of the Bible, is exactly about the sovereignty of God. And for me, that is supremely important, because everything else in the Bible hangs on the sovereignty of God. I do know that in most instances, people don't talk about that. But that, to me, is the most common thread that you find from Genesis to Revelation. Even if you go into the Jewish literature, the one common thread is that God is sovereign. So if you go to the Passover, you realize that actually The Passover is not even in essence about the enemy. It's about an angel of death that God is going to send.
Mm.
But then the blood that is posted or that is painted on the doorpost is to separate the people that the angel must kill and the people the angel must not kill.
Mm.
So the Passover is in essence about God who's sovereign. Now, if we take that and then transition that, because the idea of sovereignty, certainly in the context of Passover, is that it is about life. The very essence of life. Because what was put in the doorpost would have then led others to live and then others to die.
Mm.
So there's a strong connection between the sovereignty of God and life.
Mm.
So if there's that connection between the sovereignty of God and life,
mm.
then certainly there must be, by inference, a connection between marriage and the sovereignty of God.
Mm,
in other words, that when we marry first and foremost for Him, not for us. And I think that's something that we need to deal with. And I think the book, to a large extent, tries to do that. The book doesn't really try to deal with what I would consider the mechanic side of marriage, or if we take marriage and say it's got a primary component, it's got a secondary component, and it's got a tertiary component. So the book doesn't really deal with the tertiary part or the tertiary component of marriage, but it seeks to deal with the primary purpose of marriage and maybe transition a bit into the secondary component of marriage. But in essence, as I've said, marriage must affirm the sovereignty of God.
Sure.
Because if it doesn't do that, then it cannot bring glory to God. Okay, put differently, the things that do not affirm and confirm that God is sovereign cannot bring glory to Him.
Sure, man, sure. You know, Unathi, I'm stuck at the point where, you know, you emphasize that Passover, in essence, is about life. You know, a life given in exchange for a life restored. You know what I mean? Like, it's an inference of life. And I think a lot of times, you know, we, for whatever reason, what's the right word? I don't know if it's an issue of teaching or if it's an issue of faith, you know, in that we believe for the now and maybe not for every other day. You understand what I'm trying to say? So, for example, when you look at the message of Passover and how it is easy for me to forget that, regardless of what happens, okay, so if an arrow comes at my right hand, it is coming, actually it's in vain, because in Christ, I have life and life in all its abundance. And I just don't have life for today. I have life for tomorrow and the day after and into eternity. We understand that. And so it almost feels as if even when we then are in a marriage, you know, the issue of life and understanding that in this world we will have trouble, but Christ has overcome. This means, regardless of the obstacles, of the errors along the way, weakness, whatever, regardless of that, the end matter is life.
You see, let me say something which I think is important when it comes to marriage and sovereignty of God. Even when we make mistakes in marriage, it's the sovereignty of God that has the capacity to restore those mistakes.
Sure, man. Sure.
So I don't think it's a coincidence that, sorry to use this word, Yeshua, because I prefer that word than the word Jesus, but Yeshua and Jesus,
go ahead.
For purposes of all, it's the same. It's not a coincidence that Yeshua hung on the tree during Passover. It's an intentional thing so that He does during Passover. So even what happens in Golgotha in that period happens deliberately during the time when they're supposed to celebrate Passover. And clearly, one of the key things, I think, Apostle Paul does. I think because it's important to put ourselves during his time, the Apostle Paul, and during the times of Yeshua. Because one of the key questions that needed to be answered at the time was, how do Gentiles come into the faith? Because you must understand something, and I pray that we understand that. To be one of the key reasons we have Jews today is because there is a need to bring other nations to God. So the main purpose of being Jewish is to demonstrate how people relate to God so that those people will want the God who relates to the Jews.
Yeah.
So Yeshua's teaching about repentance is because the Jews have neglected the role they need to play to bring the other nations back to God or
hundreds,
to God.
Hundreds.
So if you take that idea, then we must impose that idea into marriage, in the sense that the let's call it the Passover now, but let's also say the death of Yeshua is intended to take our marriages back to the type of marriage that God has always wanted. Because the challenge we have today is that our marriages are about us.
And no longer about God.
And no longer about Him. But the truth is our lives, let's say marriage is part of our lives. Let's treat marriage as a portion of our lives. But the entirety of a person's life must glorify the sovereignty of God.
And
that's the challenge that we have today is we marry people we like, we marry people we think we can benefit from, and we marry people who can give things to us, or for all kinds of reasons. Whereas the truth of the matter is, in the original design of both the human being and the original design of marriage, it is about God and how we as human beings can fulfill the mandate that God had given to Adam. And that's the challenge. So in my view, Adam is not saying that the woman, and I say deliberately the woman, I'm not saying Eve, because there's a big lesson even from the transition from woman to Eve. But let's say for purposes of correctness, the woman, he's saying it because the woman is the one who must partner with him to fulfill the purpose. When he says, she is the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. It's because Adam could not find a companion within the other creation, in other words, in the other creation. The only companion he could have is a woman, and the two of them are then supposed to fulfill the mandate of God. So if you go into the idea in Hebrew of what a man is, in fact, the emphasis in Hebrew of what a man is, to be a man is to remember.
Wow, that is...
To be a man is to remember. It's not an essence about the strength and all these things. And the question then becomes, what must a man remember? The man must remember what God said. And that's the essence of being a man. So the person who comes to assist him to fulfill that which he has remembered is she, is her, or is the woman. So life is in essence about God. You know, I think that I do hope that, you know, God could reveal more. Because if, and I say that with all humility, if you want to ingratiate yourself to heaven, then concern yourself with the things of heaven.
Well, Natalie, I'm so overwhelmed. This is absolutely... Wow, it's overwhelming. So much coming out of just that statement, you know, to be a man is to remember. And I'm bringing it back to the message, you know, the theme of Easter. The theme of Easter, my family, is indeed about the life that Christ gives. And so Christ then, and you need to correct me, Unati, as the subject matter expert on the line this afternoon, Christ then, you know, in that moment of being 100% man, he is remembering my sin. He's remembering the atrocities of the world. He's remembering the transgression, the abominations. He's remembering everything. And he is showing his sacrifice by dying, you know, as the groom, you know, or the groom-to-be at the time, I suppose.
Sure.
As the groom-to-be, he's showing them that he's remembering and laying down his life, right? And then he says to the church, you are then my bride. You are my bride. And so the duty then of the church is to partner with Christ in agreeing with what he has remembered, which is reconciliation to God, number one. The duty of the church then is to agree with Christ in being an open carrier of that seed throughout generations. Let's tie that together with marriage, Unati.
In fact, you know, maybe let's go to the night before, when he's troubled, and he has an opportunity not to go through with his mandate. But then at that moment, he remembers to what it means to be a man. So the idea is that the man is the head of the wife.
Yeah.
He is not head from a, I would argue, from a dishu type authority. Now it's the authority that people have by law.
Yeah.
The man is the head because of de facto authority. That's the authority that people give to you. So the idea of being the head is the idea of remembering what God has said. So if you meet a man who wants to marry you, but he doesn't know what God said, then there's a problem.
Because what is he going
to
remember?
That man, what is he going to remember?
Aye, come on, Lord. Yo, man. Sure.
So, marriage then becomes an indispensable tool for God to fulfill his purpose. Because you must understand that the Bible functions in allegories. It functions in types, or it functions
shadows.
What is called things, motifs. It functions in the repetition of that. So marriage is an indispensable tool that God desires to use. But now you can't use a tool, or we can't marry for other purposes other than the purpose that God has. I wish sometimes I could explain to people how to ingratiate yourself to heaven. Because when you marry for God's purposes,
right,
that's what happens. You become a precious vessel to heaven. Heaven has incentives to protect you because it's protecting what you care for.
Yeah. Hey,
because remember, marriage, according to the godly principle, marriage is by the vehicle by which we procreate or reproduce. To reproduce outside that is not a godly way.
In fact, Unati, can we just pause, right? Can we just pause right there? Sure, this is, I'm thinking now about the life of Abraham, which of course, and this particular portion was also, I suppose, a shadow and type, you know, the production or reproduction of Ishmael. You know, no matter how much the Lord had validated, you know, the life of Ishmael, which is valid, and I want us to be sensitive, because the whole issue of you know, producing outside of marriage, it has become almost a fruit, a reaction, you know, to an action, and it's a thing in our generation, you know what I mean? And I don't think people, you know, have become single parents, or, you know, gave birth out of marriage, or find themselves, you know, not married for because they woke up wanting it that way. You know what I mean? So we need to be a little bit sensitive. But the reality of the matter is that we see with Ishmael, the production of Ishmael outside of marriage, and we see how God speaks and says, no, look, I don't have a problem. I can allocate him a portion of land and I will give him descendants. But the promise, my purpose, is still not going to be achieved. Hey, Unati, this is hectic for me because I realize now that every time we try and act outside then of that covenant, let's say you and I, you know, we start a charity organization and there's no Christ in there. The work will be done. People will affirm the work. But in terms of heavenly purpose, it's still outside of covenant of Christ is not part of it. Yeah?
No, it's true. Whenever we go outside the churches,
sure,
we lose out on something. We lose out on something. But because God is sovereign, he's able to decide and implement based on his mercy and many other qualities.
Right, right.
But I don't think the intention is that we must leave off God's mercy.
No. We must live off purpose.
Yes. We must live off a relationship of trust. Look, I mean, I want to say something which I think is important. Mm. I know in the Christian circles, we tend to interpret a lot of the stuff, especially the book of Galatians and the book of Romans, as faith. But if you go into the original Greek word, you'll understand that the Greek word pistis can be translated both as faith or as faithfulness. So then you find that if you interpret what is written in the book of Habakkuk, it might actually mean, or it might be better translated as, the just shall live by faithfulness. Not the just shall live by faith. Because, and it's quite something that is important, and I hope we have time for me to explain that.
I'll tell you what, Unati. In fact, I want to request that we conclude, ne? Because I'm actually realizing this morning that we need a part two and a part three and a part four, etc., etc. Let's conclude and finalize our conversation on Sunday morning. There is so much more, you know, about the parallels between the death of Jesus Christ and the roles that both man and woman ought to play in the marriage, so that the marriage looks very much like what Christ did for the church. Yeah, understand? And which then has generational repercussions and fruits, etc., etc.
Okay, I'm happy with that. But let me say one last thing.
Yes.
And one last thing for me. Mm-hmm. I think we must accept that in the kingdom of God, quality is more important than quantity.
Powerful.
In other words, quantity is as important as the quality is. So the point being that the death and the resurrection of Yeshua is primarily about the quality of things of the kingdom of God. In other words, it seeks to restore the quality first, than it seeks to restore the quantity first. So if you take that and then superimpose it on our marriages, the idea is that our marriages must be qualitatively right first, than they must be quantitatively right.
Wow. I don't know what to say.
So God will always be interested in the quality of something than he would be interested in the quantity. Even our relationship, if you think about it, when you walk with God, he hardly works on quantitative issues.
No, he's about quality.
Exactly. He always emphasizes quality. Quality of the relationship between yourself and him, and then out of that relationship, the nature of the relationship that you have with the rest of the other people, including your spouse.
Yeah.
So put differently, the better the quality of the relationship you have with him, the better the quality of the relationship you're going to have with other people, even if there's not many of those people.
No, that's incredible. I don't even know what to say to that, Unati. That is so much for us to think about. I don't know why we're doing it right towards the end of the program, because wow, you know, we're gonna be crossing over now to young people, and we've got so much to think about. Wow, that is amazing. So where do we get more of your content, of your in fact, let's do it this way, Onati. Where do we find you on Facebook, and is there an email address where we can reach out to you just to check in and connect with you?
Okay, I am on Facebook. My name is just Onati Mtonyintyi on Facebook. I do make a lot of posts on that. But also, if a person is looking for a copy of the book, they can send a WhatsApp to a number, and then I can make arrangements for them to get the book. And if I can say the number is 076.
Fantastic.
632. 5464. Let me repeat again. 076. 632. 5464. So if you can send a WhatsApp to that number, then we can make arrangements, and then I can get a copy of the book to you.
Fantastic. I appreciate your time. Mr. Onati Mtonyintyi, my family, he's an author. He is in the marketplace and, of course, a husband and a father. The title of this particular book, Marriage, the Two Shall Become One, absolutely incredible stuff. I'm reading it slowly. So that I can literally get it in right. And Onati, let's definitely connect on Sunday morning, my family. And this is where we leave it. And thank you for your time.
No, thank you, and much appreciated, and thanks for having me, and thanks for people who are listening.
Fantastic, fantastic. Onati Mtonyintyi, my family, and 53 after 5 is your time. What a good Friday, let me tell you. So on Sunday morning, let me take this opportunity to just explain, on Sunday morning, we're all about the revival. Miss it at your own risk, okay? Like, let me just say, I was just telling Batle off air, I don't know what to do. The whatever you guys have prayed in breads, hey man, you know, I was struggling to zip out of Sunday mode, you know, back into Spectrum mode. But anyway, so on Sunday morning, my family, we are just coming together as the body of Christ, and we are just raising up a roar unto God to say, Lord, this we believe that Christ rose again, and we insist on what that means for us, and we subscribe, we partner with the power of resurrection this morning between 5 and 7 on the airwaves. That is what we do, church on the airwaves on a Sunday morning. Let's cross over to a quick break, and we're coming back with great sounds of music. Shalom J is going to be closing our music playlist with a song titled In Remembrance of Me.
No hassles, no frills. It's just sounds full of life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Share the love. Share the truth. Share the life on 657 AM.